1 week away. We are officially 1 week away.
20 minutes a day.
In Green Bay, Wisconsin.
365 days a year.
Find the podcast at Pack a Day Podcast. As always, thanks so much for being here today. It is crazy that we are 1 week away. It feels like it is simultaneously going at warp speed and taking forever to get here all at the same time, all rolled into one. There's a part of me that definitely is like, just get me to Thursday. And there's another part of me that's like, can we push this thing off another 3 months? Because I'd like to watch another 5,000 players in this draft and watch all of them for like 500 hours. But it's a fun time of year. There's a ton that we're going to get into between now and the draft. And today we're going to be going over part one of the top 30 visits. And the top 30 visits are historically, at least as of late, very, very important and very telling for Green Bay. We'll get into that in just a moment. Before we get there, reminder, today there is still time, assuming that you're listening to this midday or earlier at some point. If you're in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Timber Rattlers game tonight, Thursday night, get tickets. Prior to the game, live NFL draft Q&A. Myself and Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV are going to be there answering your fan questions on all things NFL draft. All things Green Bay Packers. So make sure to get there, get your tickets, go prior to the game to make sure you get to see the Q&A. Aaron and I are going to be throwing out the first pitch. Aaron's going to be doing the Brazuca, and it should be a really fun night. And then, of course, you get to see the Timber Rattlers as well. Just the Timber Rattlers game, worth it for the price of admission. It's always a fun time out at the park. It was recently, I think, voted the number one ballpark, I think major league or minor league ballpark, I think in America, something to that extent. Really prestigious award. But either way, always fun at the ballpark, so make sure to get those tickets. The link will be in the description of today's show. Still time to do so. Also, shout out to our new members, Charlie Weck, W-E-E-C-H, Weck, Weech, Weck. Charlie, either way, or Charles, either way, thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. And Ian Hewell, a brand new Hall of Fame member. Ian, thank you so much for that. I cannot thank you enough. You'll be added to that Wall of Fame starting tomorrow. Sorry I didn't get to it today, but Ian, thank you so much for becoming a Hall of Fame member. And I know you're going to enjoy all the perks that come along with that. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. And of course, like, subscribe, comment, and give those 5-star reviews. Those all help the channel a ton. All right, top 30 visits. Why should you care? It's players visiting the Packers. What does it matter? Well, it matters, quite frankly, quite a bit. Why you should keep track of these top 30 visits. Many of these players will not become Green Bay Packers ever. Some of them may not become Packers right away. But in all likelihood, there are going to be a handful of these players that are top 30 visits that either are drafted by Green Bay, are undrafted free agents, or end up in Green Bay at some point in time. So it is a good thing to get to know these players because there is a high probability that at least a handful of them are going to end up Packers at some point. And I can give you proof of that. In 2024, of their top 30 visits, Donovan Jennings ended up in Green Bay as an undrafted free agent. Adrian Cooper, you might have heard of him, second round pick. Tyron Hopper, third round pick. Ketanji Ladapo, fifth round pick. Omar Brown was an undrafted free agent. Actually, I think they got him a little bit later. I think he went to Denver originally, and then he came to Green Bay later and actually got a cup of coffee on the active roster at the end of last year. And then Tulu Griffin was a virtual visit as well, and he ended up, as of right now, he's a reserve futures free agent signing. He is on the 90-man roster right now as well. So Donovan Jennings, Adrian Cooper, Tyron Hopper, Ketanji Ladapo, Omar Brown, and Tulu Griffin, six guys. All currently on this team. In 2023, Dontavian Wicks, Lou Nichols, who was their seventh round pick that year, Ben Sims, Kadeem Telfort, Cameron McDonald, you probably don't remember him. He was an undrafted guy in a training camp that year. Carl Brooks, and then Cole Tucker was also a local top 30 visit, which you can have as many of those as you want, but he was a local top 30 visit, and he ended up on the just kind of off-season roster for a period of time. So seven guys from 2023. In 2022, Tariq Carpenter, seventh round pick, Samori Toure, seventh round pick, Devontae Wyatt, first round pick, Christian Watson, second round pick, Rashid Walker, seventh round pick, Romeo Doubs, fourth round pick. Benny Franklin ended up on the, I think, practice squad for a little bit. Gene DeLance was a offseason guy. And then John Fitzpatrick, who is now on the team as that number three tight end, just got that 200,000-ish signing bonus the other day. That's nine guys. That were in on top 30 visits in 2022 ended up on the team at some point in time. That is a remarkable, basically one in three. basically 1 in 3 players that came in 2022 ended up a Green Bay Packer at some point in time. Even more remarkable is that in 2021, not a single one of them has at any point in time spent any time with the Green Bay Packers. Go freaking figure. All of these guys in 24, 23, 22, and none in 2021. Then in 2020, you only had two. One of them, rather important, Jordan Love, was in 2020. And then Josiah DeGuara was the other one, their third round pick. So two of their top three picks in that draft were top 30 visits, but nobody else ended up being a Packer from that top 30 visit class. In 2019, Jay Sternberger, third round pick, Andre Dillard, who was not a pick of theirs, but of course was a free agent this past year. Curtis Bolton was a undrafted free agent linebacker for them. Randy Ramsey was an undrafted free agent defensive end slash off ball or outside linebacker, I should say. Kadar Hallman was a late round cornerback pick. John Lovett was that fullback that was in camp for a little while. Manny Wilkins was the quarterback that was in camp for a little while. And then Andrew Beck, just this past year, had, I think, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. I think he got called up for all 3 weeks. So I think 3 weeks as a fullback, H-back, tight end on the team for three times that he got activated last year on the actual practice squad elevated to the active roster. So Sternberger, Dillard, Bolton, Ramsey, Hallman, Lovett, Wilkins, and Beck, 8 guys ended up on the Packers at some point in time. And then in 2018, Kendall Donerson, 7th-round pick, Oren Burks, 3rd-round pick, Jamon Moore, 4th-round pick, MVS, 5th-round pick, Tim Boyle, of course Tim Boyle, and then Gerhard DeBeer, if you remember that name as well. I think there's still a few people that I see floating around with jerseys that say DeBeer on the back of them, but that was another one. So in the Brian Gutekunst era, it wasn't the same in the Ted Thompson always, but in the Brian Gutekunst era, these are usually pretty telling unless you're 2021, in which case it was not at all. But the point being, there's a lot of these guys that have ended up a part of the Green Bay Packers. So these top 30 visits, keep an extra eye on them because there is a strong chance that at minimum about a handful of these guys become Packers at some point in time. Now, of the 30 top 30 visits, 25 of them have been reported. So we still are in the dark on 5, or maybe they're still going to take place. So today we're doing 15 of them. We're kind of going over the top 15 guys that have been reported so far. And then probably, I'm going to say maybe Sunday, probably I'm going to do whoever is remaining, whoever we know at that point in time. Probably I'm not going to push it out later than that, but we'll get to who's ever left. And then if there happens to be one reported, we'll just do it as a small snippet of another episode. But we'll do part two probably on Sunday, but part one we will do today with 15 of the top 30 visits. We're obviously not going to go deep dive scouting reports. Now, some of these guys I have done deep dive scouting reports on already, so make sure to check those out if you have not. But we're going to go through 15 scouting reports. These are my notes. These are not notes from any draft guide, from Daniel Jeremiah, from Dane Brugler, anyone. These are my specific notes from what I saw on film when I went on watch these guys, all of these guys on all 22. All right. So you're going to get some just general notes. Again, we're going to kind of go through these lightning round because if I did 15 deep dives, we'd be here for a while. So we're going to do kind of lightning round scouting reports for all 15 of these top 30 visits that we're going over today. Let's start. Oh, one other thing before we get there. The other thing that's somewhat telling, I think, about this this class of top 30 visits is that you can tell exactly what positions Green Bay is going to be targeting in this draft. All right. As far as quarterbacks go, they've brought in one quarterback, Taylor Elgersma, a Canadian quarterback that at the very best is a late 7th-round pick, is probably an undrafted free agent. He's probably a camp arm. He's a Canadian quarterback. It's a little bit different rules, a little bit different football. They probably wanted to get a little bit better vision on him just to kind of get a feel for who he is. And he's probably an undrafted free agent kind of quarterback at best. Every other player that they have brought in has either been a receiver, an offensive lineman, a defensive tackle, a defensive end, or a corner. Every single one, 24 of the 25 reported so far have been one of those positions. The only one that wasn't, well, was Taylor Elgersma, the quarterback out of Canada. 6 wide receivers, 6 offensive linemen, 3 defensive tackles, 5 defensive ends, 4 corners, 0 safeties, 0 off-ball linebackers, all right, 0 running backs, 1 quarterback. They are telling you what positions they want to target in this draft. And I do believe that that's the case. Some of these players are being brought in for medical evaluations. Others are brought in for character evaluations. Others are brought in because Green Bay is very interested. Others might be brought in because it's subterfuge that they are trying to, you know, put out in the ether that they're very interested in some of these guys. Tet McMillan might be an example of that. Goody went to his pro day and they brought him in for a top 30 visit. Look at how interested the Packers are in Tet McMillan. Maybe they really are. Maybe they're not at all. That's exactly where Green Bay wants you. Not knowing if they're super interested or not interested at all and not knowing the difference. That's a good spot for Green Bay to be in. But the point being here is receiver, offensive lineman, defensive tackle, edge, and corner. Green Bay is not messing around. They know the positions that they need to target in this draft, and they are doing their due diligence on a lot of these guys, comparing and contrasting, I'm sure, with some of the guys that they have not been able to bring in on top 30 visits, that some of them I'm sure they like a lot, and trying to figure out the right pathway to get the right players at those particular positions. That is a very telling aspect of this. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol, and you're going to want to check this out. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but when hanging out with my friends during the college basketball tournament, I gave it a shot, and believe me, it's the real deal. And guess what? Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warm weather, so before you have those drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or go to your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. All right, without further ado, let's get to our 15 scouting reports from the top 30 visits. We'll start with Tet McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. 6'4", 219 pounds, does not qualify for a relative athletic score because he did not do enough testing, had a 4.53 40-yard dash. You cannot tell if he's a quote-unquote Packers threshold type because he didn't do enough of the testing. He's 11th on the consensus big board. He had an 84.8 PFF grade on 713 snaps this past year, and his fit with the team would very clearly be as a primary outside wide receiver that can also play a little bit in the slot as well. Can kind of move him around, but they'd be getting Tet McMillan to be a true legitimate outside wide receiver in this offense. Take a little bit of the load off of Christian Watson, obviously, while he is out. Romeo Dobbs, they have the slot guys, right? Wicks can play in the slot. Reed is the primary slot guy. Mecole Hardman can play in the slot. Bo Melton can play in the slot. They need those outside wide receivers. Tet would come in and immediately give them another outside wide receiver. My notes on Tet. There are some concentration drops on tape. He will get flustered with physicality. While he is a big-time contested catch guy and one of the best in the draft, he's not even quite as efficient as I would have expected him to be. I think he can actually even get better at that as he maybe adds a little bit of that physicality to his game. I do see some of the Drake London comparisons. It's not apples to apples. It's not perfect, but I can see it when I watch him. I don't think there's any one perfect comparison for Tet McMillan. I think he's his own kind of guy. But again, there's a little bit of Drake London there. You can line him up inside and in the slot as a big move piece. Almost think like a receiving tight end. He's not, you know, thick enough for that, but the way that those big receiving tight ends can kind of get open and use their catch radius, Tet McMillan is similar in that regard. Fantastic wingspan and size, and definitely is a tougher cover for most corners. One of the things that I like to do always is see who's going against the player that I'm scouting. And you can tell some of these corners are an absolute hell having to go against Tet McMillan. That's a good sign. That's exactly what you want to see. He's crafty after the catch. He's not this dynamic run after the catch guy, but he's crafty. I would like to see him be a bit more precise with his routes. I think that's something that's going to come with time. He does keep working after the catch, does not give up, and he continues to try to make as much out of the play as he possibly can. He knows how to exploit zone coverage, does a great job of coming back to the ball, and sells double moves with his head, his eyes, and change of speed. And those are three huge things. So it can't just be one thing. You want to sell it every way possible. So you're doing that double move. Let's say you're doing like an out and up, that out comes, you sell it with your body, you look back like the ball's coming to you. And then as soon as that play, and then you maybe throttle down a little bit. Now that corner maybe comes, takes a step towards you, boom, accelerate the other way. You sold everything. And now you're going to get that advantage moving down the field. You can see him sell it again with his body, his eyes, and his change of speed. Very talented football player. This is one I think one of the toughest evals in this entire draft. I'm pretty certain he's going to go in the first round. I'm pretty certain he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he's going to be a great player. I think there's a chance he could also be a risk here, but I mean, he is a very difficult eval. I think there's a reason Green Bay wanted to go see him in person, wanted to bring him in for the top 30 visit, is because he's not this cookie cutter wide receiver. He's different. You're going to have to give him some jump balls. There's going to be some contested catch situations. He needs to get better against physicality, but he's a very fun, very talented player. And if Green Bay would go in that direction, I would certainly be very intrigued and definitely hoping for the best. I would have no issue with it. I think he's, like I said, right around that pick 23 is where there's good value. He could go top 10 and it wouldn't stun me. Like, that's kind of the crazy, you know, range for Tet McMillan here. I could see him go really almost anywhere in the first round, and maybe, just maybe, at pick 23 to Green Bay. Next one, wide receiver, Matthew Golden out of Texas, 5'11", 191 pounds. This, again, not qualify for a relative athletic score because he didn't do enough testing. 4.29 40-yard dash. Can't tell if he's a Packers, quote-unquote, threshold type via the testing because he didn't do enough of it. He's 20th on the consensus big board, had a 74.3 PFF grade on 854 snaps this past season. His fit also would be as a outside wide receiver, but you can move him inside. You can move him around a little bit. He's got that great speed. He's just a good overall wide receiver. Even though you see the 4.29 40 speed, I don't think he quite plays that fast, but he's just kind of good at everything. He's definitely fast. He may, again, maybe not 4.29 40 on tape, but he's definitely fast. He's got good run after the catch, good hands, good route running, good releases. Not much that's great, but a lot of things that are good. My notes here, natural hands catcher, can play outside or in the slot. Very fluid, complete wide receiver, great speed after the catch, doesn't show 4.29 40 on tape, but he's fast, natural receiving ability, good change of speed within the routes, good route runner, will get more nuanced with his route running and releases in the pros as time goes on. He's a willing blocker on the outside, fast but not super dynamic in any phase of the game, capable of coming up with contested catches, and plays much bigger than his height. He should come in and make an impact right away and has the ability to develop into a nice number one wide receiver, but at minimum should be a really good number two and sooner rather than later. That is, again, Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. Number three, wide receiver Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. 6'1", 202, 9.72 relative athletic score, although did not do the bench press, the broad jump, or the three cone. So three scores missing, but still a 9.72 with those being incompletes. Packers, is he a Packers type? Yes, pending the three cone and the broad jump. Usually those are things that Green Bay looks for. That he did not test in either of those. If Green Bay feels good enough about it, then they could continue forward, but they could obviously continue forward no matter what. But you can't quite tell if he's, again, a quote-unquote Packers type based on not having three cone or broad jump scores. He's the 33rd graded, or I guess 33rd overall player on the consensus big board, had a 79.5 PFF grade on 755 snaps in 2024. His fit, I still think, is a primary slot wide receiver slash move wide receiver that you can also play on the outside, but his best position is in the slot. Not saying he can't play outside, not saying that he can't have success there, but I think if you want him to reach the peak of his powers, you want to play him in the slot more often than not. All right, my notes. Slot wide receiver, also used a little bit in almost like an H-back, or, you know, it's just sort of like a wing role. He was used outside sparingly, a lot of schemed up plays. Tough to tell his releases and route running with the way that they utilized him at Ohio State. He will have some drops. He's not the most dynamic player after the catch. It kind of feels like Green Bay has some players in Reed and Wicks already that can do a lot of the same stuff that Emeka Egbuka do. He's not an outside deep threat, not a burner after the catch, and not a contested catch guy. He's an okay, but not a great separator. To me, he feels like more of a second round pick, which is, again, consensus 33rd, you know, player. That's right where the consensus kind of has him as well. Again, very great testing scores, 9.72 relative athletic score, 4.48 40. The testing looks fantastic. Did not quite see that player on tape. He was almost an identical athlete to Justin Jefferson. Gives good effort as a blocker. Great job coming back to the ball. Will lose his balance from time to time. I still think he's a little bit gadgety, but he's a very interesting prospect and one that if Green Bay took him, I think it would be just a really good wide receiver. And his reliability, I think his attention to detail, his hands, I think it'd be somebody that would be a very nice weapon for Jordan Love. You just have to figure out the best way to unlock all of his superpowers and hope that he can find a way to be successful on the outside if Jaden Reed is primarily going to be in the slot. Next one is wide receiver Isaiah Bond, Texas. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this one. Justice Mosqueda and I have broke him down previously if you want to find that. He's going through a lot of character stuff right now. The reason they brought him in was the character check. He's currently fighting multiple, at least one major sexual assault allegation. There's some other locker room concerns. He's not going to be a Packers draft pick, all right? Just not. He's not a Packers type of wide receiver anyway. So even if he was clean, I would say this is probably not somebody that they're looking at. I think they're getting their character eval. So down the road, if they're, you know, he becomes a free agent or something, is he completely off the board or would they consider him? I think that's probably what they're just doing their due diligence here. But there's no use going into this in great detail. He is not going to be a Packers draft pick. Next one, wide receiver Torrey Horton out of Colorado State. 6'2", 196, 9.83 relative athletic score, although did not do the bench or the agility testing. He is a Packers coach pending the three cone. All right, again, they look at three cone for wide receivers. He did not do it, but everything else that he did, he hit. Consensus 105 on the big board, on the consensus big board, 105th overall. 82.3 grade by PFF on 203 snaps in 2024. His fit is as an outside wide receiver. Some notes on Horton. Season-ending knee injury in 2024. He is a tall, linear athlete with good speed. Not much of a release off the line of scrimmage, at least nothing dynamic. Needs to do a lot better job of coming back to the ball. Hands can be a little bit hit and miss. Gives good effort as a blocker. Long strider, good speed on crossing routes. Good size and catch radius. Not much of a route tree in college. Massive drop versus Boise State. Had a wide open pass down the field and just dropped it. Kind of reminiscent to Christian Watson on that very first play against Minnesota as a rookie. There's talent there. There's no question about it. I think it needs a lot of refinement. And I don't think he's going to be somebody that's going to come in and be a contributor in 2025. But I do think you give him some time and development that in 2026, he could definitely be more of a contributor. And there's a lot of talent there to sort of unearth and figure out. But I didn't love the tape. But again, he's more of a developmental guy to me than somebody that's ready to come in and play right away, especially somebody coming off of injury. All right, wide receiver, Tay Felton out of Maryland, 6'1", 183, 9.20 relative athletic score. He is not a Packers type because he's 183 pounds. Usually they go with 195 or heavier. He is 12 pounds below that. Hits everything else save for three cone, which he did not test on. He's 127th on the consensus big board, 81.8 grade per PFF, 836 snaps this past year. And how he is used is kind of a move wide receiver. You can put him in the slot. You can put him at the X. You can put him at the Y. You pretty much do anything that you want with him. I really like his versatility. I do think if you want to use him as a primary outside wide receiver, you can. Uses his speed and size to wall off defenders and give him a slight separation advantage. Good run after the catch with speed, toughness, and contact balance. Can play outside and in the slot with some gadget ability. Fearless over the middle. Needs to work on the crispness of his routes. Not the most diverse route tree in college. Gives good effort as a blocker. Needs to do a better job of stacking the corner on nine routes. Does have some concentration drops, usually in more tight quarter situations. Can get out muscled with his routes or on his routes by bigger, more physical corners, and failed to make an impact against better competition. You go against the Oregons and the Penn States and some of those big games that they had down the stretch, and he just couldn't really get much going in those games. So that's a little bit noteworthy as well. Next up, offensive tackle, Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, 6'5", 317. Does not have a relative athletic score because he didn't do testing because he's coming off of a patella injury. Again, can't tell if he's a Packers type because he didn't do any of the testing. He's 22nd on the consensus big board. He had a 75.9 grade on 306 snaps this past year by PFF before going out with that injury. His fit with the team, he is a long-term left tackle, would probably redshirt this year, although I think you would definitely get him back at some point this year. But I think you would give him that time to sort of be a backup or depth piece this year. And then you'd probably look to him as your left tackle of the future beginning in 2026. Some notes here. Torres patella tendon in October was a non-contact injury. He hopes to be ready for training camp. We'll see if that actually happens. He's an easy mover with great athleticism and the ability to pull or get to the second level. Has the tenacity to really finish plays and will play through the whistle. Hands and strength to turn defenders and get them redirected completely away from the play. Does bend at the waist every once in a great while, something he'll need to clean up a little bit. Needs to anchor better against the bull rush, but that should come with time. Good dimensions for the position, definitely looks the part. Very, very rarely is he ever on the ground. Can make adjustments on the fly, and his footwork is going to give him a lot of opportunity to succeed in the NFL. Some very, very good footwork. Like Josh Simmons a lot. If he were healthy, I think he'd be going a lot earlier than what we're talking about right now. If he's there at 23, would be a very interesting proposition for Green Bay. Next up, defensive lineman, Walter Nolan. He is out of Ole Miss. 6'4", 296 pounds. No relative athletic score. Didn't do enough testing. Again, can't tell if he's a Packers type because of that as well. He's 29th in the consensus big board, 89.9 grade on 614 snaps. His fit with the team would be a three technique, which, again, I feel like there's a little bit too much Devontae Wyatt there. They've got a bunch of three techniques. I don't know that this is the type that they really need in this situation, but he's a talented player nonetheless. He's not a quick win pass rusher and doesn't have much nuance to his game as a pass rusher. I did not see him finishing and didn't love his ability to get off of blocks, or didn't see enough finishing, excuse me, and didn't love his ability to get off of blocks. Was less than stellar as a hold up at the point of attack run defender. He allowed too many offensive linemen to get into his pads. As a penetrating defensive lineman against the run, he was fantastic. As a penetrating defensive lineman against the pass, he was really good as well. Definitely has the athleticism, the size, etc. This is a little bit of a, you know, I don't know that it's like a long-term play only. I think he can definitely come in and help right away, but you're hoping for him to see his upside more in the NFL than we did in college. He was washed away a little bit too easily and doesn't always hold up against double teams. Needs to be a penetrator so he can get into the backfield and cause that chaos. Upside is there. We'll definitely need to turn up the intensity and become a little bit more of a technician at the position. He's got great quick step off the ball, absorbs contact, just needs to, he just keeps moving forward. Used as a pocket collapser off the edge and look good doing that as well. There's definitely things to like. I did a deep dive recently on Walter Nolan if you want to go check that out. But very interesting player. Again, I think a little bit too much like Devontae Wyatt to get another one, but we'll see what they end up doing and if Walter becomes a Packer at some point in time. All right, next up, defensive tackle, Tyleek Williams, Ohio State. 6'3", 334 pounds, no relative athletic score, didn't do enough testing. Again, can't tell if he's a Packers type because of that. 44th on the consensus big board, 79.2 PFF grade on 586 snaps. His fit would be a nose tackle with some juice. He is a 334-pounder that has some real legitimate movement ability. All right, my notes here, needs to do a better job of anticipating and anchoring against double teams in the run game. Love his ability to stack and shed offensive linemen. Good physicality and quickness and suddenness. Does a nice job of anticipating screens. Great hustle, does not quit on plays. Great agility and speed for his size. Some ridiculous bursts at the end of his plays where he's chasing them down. Again, that's kind of per his size. Gets hands up in passing lanes, does run a bit hot and cold, which again, most defensive tackles kind of do. Not a well-versed pass rusher, but he's not inept there either. Just not many people his size that move the way that he does. Chalk that up in that category as well. Penetration, stack shed, and reset the line of scrimmage ability. So the three things that you're kind of looking for, can you penetrate? Yes. Can you stack an offensive lineman, shed him and go make a play? Yes. Can you reset the line of scrimmage? Yes as well. So he checks kind of some main things for a defensive tackle. Really liked my study of Tyleek Williams. All right, TJ Sanders, defensive tackle, South Carolina. 6'4", 297, 9.38 relative athletic score, did not do the bench press. He is, yes, very much a Packers type. 60th on the consensus big board, 83.0 grade on 485 snaps this past year. His fit is as a three technique that you can kind of move around a little bit. I don't think he's ever going to be a true nose tackle, but he does hold up well enough at the point of attack that you are getting some run defense out of him as well. That said, he does get out leveraged too easily in the run game. He needs to be able to hold up a little bit more, anchor a little bit more, and not get moved around quite as easily. He will go try to make a play and abandon his gap. He's got to do his 111th and make sure that he's holding the line of scrimmage. He rarely loses, but he doesn't win a ton either. Tries to do too much and needs to focus on his assignment. He's got a very quick first step. Does a very nice job using his hands to swipe away offensive linemen to move laterally and then go make a play. That's kind of his go-to move. Fun player, definitely a possibility for Green Bay in the second round. I don't love it, but I can understand what they see in him as a player. Next up, edge rusher, Mikel Williams, edge slash defensive end out of Georgia, 6'5", 260 pounds, did not qualify for a relative athletic score. Again, we can't tell if he's a Packers type because of that. He's 15th on the consensus big board, had a 78.4 grade on 402 snaps this past year. His fit would be as a primary defensive end for Green Bay. Notes, there's a huge difference between the 2023 tape and the 2024 tape. He was injured early in 2024, and that was much more pedestrian. In 2023, I think you could see more of the real Mikel Williams. In 2023, he was a phenomenal run defender, played with fantastic physicality. Athleticism really popped on tape. Nobody can really consistently block him. Has violent hands, extremely long arms that he uses to his advantage, can play outside, inside, or lined up over center. Fantastic on twists and stunts, willing to do the dirty work, gets his hands up in passing lanes and knocks down passes. Offensive linemen just can't seem to get a beat on him. He is a fantastic effort player. And as long as it's the 2023 version of him, he is really, really good and a player that I absolutely love in this draft and would be thrilled if Green Bay was able to go out and get him. All right, next, defensive end slash edge rusher, Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M, 6'5", 267 pounds, 10.0 relative athletic score, although did not do the bench press or agility testing. If he did, I don't think it would have been a 10.0. He is absolutely a Packers type through and through. 16th on the consensus big board, had an 84.2 grade per PFF this past year on 553 snaps, and his fit would be as a primary defensive end for Green Bay. His elite athleticism is a train wreck, car wreck waiting to happen in all the best ways. He completely causes chaos along the defensive front. Do not box score scout him. He is way better than what the box score would indicate. Has pure raw power, does a really nice job getting under opposing offensive linemen's pads. Could use a wider moveset, no question about it. Does have a long arm at his disposal. Can win with speed or power and converting speed to power. Can line up all over the place. Has a nice spin move, is relentless. Has good jump off the ball. Holds up against the run defense well, sets the edge well. I think he, of course, needs to finish better. That goes without saying. Only 4.5 sacks in his career. Needs to be better than that. And he needs a few more moves in his repertoire as well to really develop that pass rush plan. All right, a few more to go here. We've got 1, 2, 3 more to go. Start with James Pierce, defensive end out of Tennessee, 6'5", 245, 9.40 relative athletic score, although did not do the bench press or any agility testing. He is not a Packers type, does not meet the height or the arm length thresholds that they usually look for. He is 31st on the consensus big board, 89.8 PFF grade on 464 snaps, and his fit would be as a primary defensive end for Green Bay. Notes, he is a long, tall, linear pass rusher, speed rusher off the end that rushes with size, speed, and tries to attack the outside corner. Doesn't really have the bendability. It doesn't have a wide array of pass rush moves. Good effort against the run, but it's likely he's going to, you know, probably be or need to be a little bit more stout in the NFL. I don't know that that's going to hold up as well. He is going to expose his pads to offensive linemen, allow them to get inside. That height is going to hurt him from time to time. Gets worked around the bend far too often, and quarterbacks are able to just step up in the pocket because of it. He is straight line fast, and I just overall don't see a lot of the bendability, the agility, things like that that Green Bay usually looks for. And you know what happens when you get the straight line speed and don't have that bendability is you work your way back past the quarterback and the quarterback just steps up and you can't really get back to the quarterback. So that's something he needs to work on. You can move him around, stand him up over weaker players. That's something that Tennessee did a little bit of. I think a wide nine defense is going to be best for him where you can build up some speed. And I will just say this, while this has been a little bit more of a negative review, the more you watch him, the more you like of him. And I just don't think he's Green Bay's type. He's definitely not my type, but I do think that he is really coming into his own a little bit more at the end of this past season. And you do start watching more of his tape and you're like, yeah, I don't love it, but like, I get it. He's still a fun player. Very fast. Wouldn't surprise me if he became a 10 sack guy in the NFL. Just think there's some things lacking overall in his game. All right. Next up. Also he has some locker room concerns that need to be vetted out as well. All right. Savon Revell. Savon, something to that extent. He just said it the other day. Savon Revell Jr., East Carolina corner, 6'2", 194, does not have a relative athletic score coming off the injury. So we don't know his 40, don't know his relative athletic score, a three cone, but everything else technically fits. His draft projection for the consensus big board is 37th overall. At least that's where they have him ranked. He had an 84.0 grade on 204 snaps this past year as an outside corner. He's an outside corner all day, every day, and would certainly fit there for Green Bay as well. Good size, good demeanor. My notes here, again, plays the game with a great demeanor, made for modern NFL zone coverage, good with eyes on the quarterback and great size length to go get the football, plays physical, can blitz him off the edge, not afraid to go make a tackle at all, will fill his alleys and play the run game the way he's supposed to. He lacks deep speed and teams were not afraid to target him down the field. Flips his hips pretty well overall, but not the most fluid of corners. He panics a bit at the catch point and needs to do a better job of playing the ball. Long arms help him contest those passes. Needs to continue to work on his technique. Would have liked to have seen him shut down the smaller school wide receivers a little bit more. He drops his shares of interceptable passes and reminds me a little bit of Isaiah Oliver, the corner out of Stanford that's been in the league for a while but has not made a massive impact, started his career with the Atlanta Falcons. Last but not least, Trey Amos, corner out of Ole Miss, 6'1", 195. Relative athletic score of 8.37, although did not do the three cone. He's a Packers type, yes, save for the three cone, which he did not do. He also had bad short shuttle and vertical jump scores. Could be a turn, you know, I guess something Green Bay could turn away from, but he's still a pretty darn good player. 40th on the consensus big board, 82.9 grade on 867 snaps this past year per PFF. He is an outside corner. My notes here, impressive size and length at corner, able to use that length and strength to jam and contest a lot of passes and a lot of players. 13 pass breakups in 2024. Not the most athletic player in the world. He's a little bit of an up and down tackler. He is natural at the point of attack. And the, you know, if you get anything where it's a jump ball or anything, usually Revelle is going to be the one that knocks that ball away and comes away with the win. Ran a 4.43 40, but I didn't see him really play like that on tape. Was fantastic on deep throws down the field per PFF, less than 19% completion rate on throws 20% or 20 plus air yards or more. Off coverage isn't his forte, but he does close to the ball pretty quick. And I think he's going to be a good corner. I just don't see maybe the upside of a great corner. Although I do think if he comes to Green Bay, gets to work with some of these players, I do think it is something that could work out very well for Green Bay potentially in the long term. All right, those are my players I'm breaking down today. 15 new ones. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. The players that we broke down, in case you missed any, we broke down Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, Emeka Egbuka, Isaiah Bond, who we didn't really break down because he's not going to be a Packer, Torrey Horton, Tay Felton, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, Tyleek Williams, TJ Sanders, Michael Williams, Michael Williams, Shamar Stewart, James Pierce, Siobhan Revelle, and Trey Amos. Hope you guys, like I said, enjoyed the breakdowns. Let me know what you think. Which players are you interested in? Which ones are you not? Which ones would you like to see become Green Bay Packers eventually? I'll get to the remainder of those top 30 visits, like I said, probably on Sunday. That is going to do it for me for now. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Corner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle Stinkle, Jen Wright, and Ian Hool. You'll have to let me know, Ian, how you pronounce it. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.